Thanks for that. You hear that music? It's 9:40 on a Tuesday, and that means we check in with Karen Lyle, who will co-host this segment with me. She is from SailSportsTalk.com. Karen, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Rick. You know, I listen to what you say very seriously. And you said to me, Karen, I want to know more about these orcas that are attacking boats off the Iberian Peninsula. Will you bring us someone to tell us about that? And I have done so.
It's John Burbeck from Cruising Association. John, welcome to the show. So killer whales attacking ships, this sounds like Jules Verne or something. This is all true, huh?
Well, attacking yachts, not ships. So we're talking about yachts, sort of 30 foot to 45, 50 foot long, really, not ships. And you're
well, John, these yachts that the Cruising Association is representing, you know, for helping us find out information to avoid being attacked by an orca off the Iberian coast, they usually have, it's the rudder that gets attacked. Can you tell us a little bit about what the pattern is and what's being done with this, you know, why this is happening in this particular area and what is happening?
Right, well, it's happening off the coast of Portugal and the Atlantic parts of Spain, largely. There's a few incidents in the Bay of Biscay off the coast of France. And it's a particular family of orca. They eat the bluefin tuna that swim through the area. And they've started what the scientists think is a game where they attack the rudders of yachts that are passing. And, to date, I'm not saying that all the yachts have been damaged, but over 600 have had some sort of contact with orca during the last five seasons. So it's a large number of incidents, and about 350, 360 have been damaged, and half a dozen of them sunk.
Wow.
So of those that are damaged, some have been seriously damaged and only kept afloat because the life-saving agencies bought out pumps. Others have only been slightly damaged. So it's a wide variation, but there's plenty going on.
Well, obviously we can't throw depth charges down there. What are some of the humane ways to keep this from occurring, John?
Well, the first thing to remember is they're a protected species. So if you do anything that might harm them, the Spanish government in particular, and the Portuguese government have made it clear that they'll prosecute you. And we are aware of some prosecutions of boat crews that are going ahead. The reality is that you can only do things that won't hurt them. So no explosives, no knives, nothing that's going to injure them. And so the first thing we implore crews to do is prepare for the risk, like you prepare for bad weather, for storms. Check to see where the orca are. Ideally, avoid those areas. If not, stay in shallow water and sensibly travel daylight so that if anything happens, whatever action you're taking is done in daylight. But shallow water close to the shore is safe.
Did this happen in the past, like when Horatio Nelson and the Royal Navy were like trying to go to Cadiz? I mean, is this time immemorial, or is this a recent thing?
It's, as far as we're aware, it's a recent thing. This is the fifth season. The marine biologists in GTOA, who we work with, have been monitoring this population for decades, 20, 30 years. And the first time they had any reports of this was in 2020. Now, that's after COVID, and it's possible that there were no yachts traveling through the area in 2019, 2020. And when they reappeared, it was a new toy for the, it started off with the young orca. Originally, there were three of them. By 2021, there were 14 involved. but I'm pleased to say that the year after it was 15, but no more. There's a family of about 38, but only 15, all identified, have been interested in it. I say it's as all the experts now believe that it's a game.
Well, and you've been through a lot of different theories as to why they might be doing it to arrive at this one of that they're playing. What are some of the theories that have been dismissed as to why this is happening?
Well, the first one was because one of the first three juveniles had a serious head injury, there was belief that they may be doing it as a revenge. But because of the pattern of behavior since over the last 5 years, where sometimes they just stroke the yachts, sometimes the adults stand off and talk to the juveniles while they're doing it, and sometimes a single orca just comes in and hits the boat two or three times hard. Because of all that variation, and because sometimes they turn the boats round and push them at speed, now the scientists believe that it's not revenge, it's fun. They're playing with the boats. Another one was there was a suggestion that during COVID it had been so quiet that it was the noise of everything associated with the yachts that was attracted them. But we've had yachts sailing quietly in medium to light winds with no echo sounder on, no machinery on, and they've had interactions as well. So the noise thing has now been excluded as well.
Is there a predator for the orca, or are they like, I mean, outside of other sharks in that area, what are they looking out for?
No, they're the top predators. There's some suggestion that I think it's a sperm whale they're a bit wary of, but no, they're top predators. And there are two types of orca. There are resident orca who eat fish, and the problem group off the Iberian coasts are resident orca, and they eat bluefin tuna. But the other orca you've often seen in the natural history, the wildlife programs, are transient orca, and they eat warm-blooded mammals, seals, sea lions, minke whales, even whale sharks. They've and white sharks. They're capable of killing really big animals and big mammals. The
Along the
experts
Pacific
say
coast,
that
we
they're
have.
actually now, they believe, two separate species. So the ones we've got problem with are fish-eating resident orca. They're local to those waters, and that's where they stay.
Yeah, I was very interested to hear about these two different species. We run into, not run into, we don't have interaction with what we see. The transient orcas in the Monterey Bay area and along the Pacific coast quite frequently, and often they are influencing the movements of sea lions and other mammals who are trying to avoid them. Tell us a little bit about what resources you have, the Cruising Association has available for sailors, so that they can plan the times of year where it's less likely that these things might occur if they're going through by Portugal and the coast of Spain.
Right. Well, the Cruising Association is a members association. We've got 6,500 members and been in existence since 1908. And it was set up to provide information, advice, and help solve problems for cruising sailors as opposed to racing sailors. When they first started, most sailors were racing, but the Cruising Association was for people like us who want to sail all around the world and want to share knowledge and information. What happened was when this problem with the orca started, we became aware of it and realized that the information that was being provided by marine biologists who were studying the creatures, and it was mostly their information was useful for preserving the animals, it wasn't very helpful for yacht crews to avoid interactions. So we set up, in partnership with the marine biologists, this project, which we've now been running for coming up for 4 years. And we collect as much data, comprehensive data from the skippers of yachts who've had interactions. And also, we've got nearly 500 reports of people who've sailed through the area without having any problems. And what we do, we compare the notes and see whether we, as a result of that, we can pull out advice to yachts people. And certainly now we've got quite a lot of information available which should help people avoid the worst periods. And we're also able, through all this data we're collecting, to what's the word? Remove theories and disprove some of the wild theories that were circulating in the early years.
Last question for you, John, and we know orcas can go like 30 knots and live to 80 and all this, but we, you know, in America, we were always calling them killer whales. And the thing I think is most amazing, and correct me if I'm wrong, they're actually dolphins, right?
Well, they're related. But they are their own species. But you're right, they are extremely fast. And partly the reason they're so fast is they slough their skin off, which causes a problem for the marine biologists because it's very difficult to put a tracker on them. And therefore, if you get a tracker on, it doesn't stay very long. And therefore, they don't really know exactly where they are all the time.
Great.
Pretty fantastic animals, but I wouldn't want to meet one if I was in a yacht off the Iberian coast.
There he is, John Burbeck from Cruising Association. Thank you so much for your time and insights. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Good to meet
Thank
you.
you so much, John. Just a delight to hear you again, and so fun to meet you at the Royal Thames Yacht Club just a few weeks ago.
Nice to talk to you again, Karen. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And Karen, before we let you go, are you stateside or are you still in England?
I am stateside in the San Francisco Bay Area and going sailing tomorrow on my boat.
All right. When are you not going sailing?
Well, you know, I kind of have a little bit addiction, I think. I think I like it.
I think you do. No, it's cool. It's fun knowing a rich person. But
Oh,
thank you
you keep
very
saying
much.
that. This is so not true.
Salesporttalk.com. Check it out for more information. Karen Lyle, as always, thanks a lot.
Okay, we'll talk to you soon.
All right. That was an entire segment on orcas, baby. Come on back on Sports Byline.